हरिः ॐ सहनववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 71, Chapter 12, Beyond Renunciation and Knowledge. Sri Krishna continued, all those hundreds of thousands of gopis, understanding me to be their most charming lover and ardently desiring me in that way, were unaware of my actual position. Yet, by intimately associating with me, the gopis attained me, the supreme absolute truth. Right, so it's not through jnana, it's not through all these other practices, it's simply because of their focus on Krishna. Right? It's about that Krishna is all that's important. Right? That's what makes it prominent. Right? So that's what that brings it forward. So these other things are useful in as much as they are doing this. Right? So as much as studying, you know, knowledge and all that is bringing you forward in Krishna consciousness. That's its value. You know, performing activities, that's its value. And that is, you are progressing on the devotional path. But to think that the karma or the jnana itself is producing the bhakti, that's a misunderstanding. Does that make sense? Yeah, let's see. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. They attained me not as a husband, but as a lover, jaram. They did not know my swarup of power, since they experienced only my great sweetness. Or the meaning of ashvarupa vidahak can mean they did not attain sarupya, forms similar to mine like other devotees. Right? Because other devotees say, they get the similar form as the Lord in Vaikuntha. So they didn't get that. Right? For them it's mood and then what matches in the mood.
Maharaj, can we say that this particular possessiveness...
this particular process...
possessiveness of the gopis.
Okay.
Can we say that even devotees at Vaidhi level can exhibit a little amount of this possessiveness, because usually it's been observed that pujaris who dress the deities, they're very, very attached and they do not go anywhere leaving that particular seva, because they usually say that we are very much, you know, the Lord is our property, therefore we cannot leave the seva. So is that possessiveness?
But, okay, so is it possessiveness? So
what's the question?
What is the question?
The pujaris.
Question. Is the possessiveness that we're talking about here of the, you know, in general of those on the platform of prema, is that sense of possessiveness there in the devotees, even if they're on the, you know, lower platforms of advancement? Example given is pujaris get attached to the deities, they want to always be there for that service, they don't want to go out, they want to be there. Like that. But why wouldn't it be? It's just like when we explain that the bhava sadhana, bhava itself is expanding down all the way to shraddha, so why wouldn't these be? But the volume of it is so small you wouldn't call it possession. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You know, it's like a... Okay, yeah, the floor's cold here. Sit on this. You know what I'm saying? Is it rug? It's 100% rug. But is this volume enough that that's how you say it? In other words, all these things that the bhakti, they're all there because that's all bhakti is. But you only call it that when it gets, it has a certain volume. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. That's the whole. If they had attained forms similar to Krishna, Krishna could not perform rasa dance with them. Another meaning of asurupa vidaha is they did not know the beauty of their own forms, but experienced the beauty of my form. Right? So Krishna knows the beauty of their form, they know Krishna. Or another meaning is gopis whose surups no one knew. Right? No one knows actually the position of the gopis. Right? What is their transcendental position? Right? So the whole point is it's beyond the general, beyond understanding. It has to be revealed by the Lord. So that's the whole point, is that if you please Krishna, that's perfection. So following the order of Guru in the association of devotees, then we try to please Krishna. That then becomes the cause of our appreciating and understanding Krishna. But it doesn't mean that these points of activities and knowledge and that aren't applied. It's just we're not applying and thinking that knowledge is what's going to do it. It's that Prabhupada said study these books. Prabhupada gave these courses. So that's why we're doing it. Otherwise, we wouldn't come up with these things. Mm-hmm. Is that? Yes. Yeah. Sri Krishna continued, therefore, my dear Uddhava, abandon the Vedic mantras as well as the procedures of supplementary Vedic literatures and their positive and negative injunctions. Disregard that which has been heard and that which is to be heard. Footnote 18. When your intelligence is passed out of the dense forest of illusion, you will become indifferent to all that has been heard and all that is to be heard. Bhagavad Gita 2:52. Simply take shelter of me alone, for I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead, situated within the heart of all conditioned souls. Take shelter of me wholeheartedly, and by my grace be free from fear in all circumstances. Right? So that makes sense. So, in other words, why is something done? Simply because it's pleasing to Krishna. What is the value of something? It's connection to Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? So it's more about Krishna, then you're connecting secondary things that match. Does that make sense? You start off, you're hungry, then you consider what to connect to that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the Srila Vishnu. Yes.
When you said to surrender, to take shelter, is the same?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's different aspects, so, but it's the same thing. You know, Krishna is the maintainer, Krishna is the protector, like that. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. In reply to Uddhava's question about the qualities of the devotee, Krishna described three types of devotees. Footnote 19. These are the Karma Mr. Bhakta, the Jnana Mr. Bhakta, and the Kevala Bhakta. By their respective association, one attains mixed or pure bhakti. In order to show that he is controlled by bhakti, he stated that he is controlled by association of devotees. After describing the... So, he's controlled by the devotees, so he's asking us to be in the association and surrender to that. Right? Then you're in the same mood, because then you can say there has to be something common to create relationship. So that commonality of surrender to devotees, that's the common point. Right? After describing the devotees who associate with the saintly devotees, Krishna praised pure bhakti yoga, situated in the gopis and others, as being very rare. The burning tears of love for the gopis which were deeply suppressed in his heart, suddenly burst forth, and with his statement in verse 10, in which he indicated that the gopis had reached the highest level as devotees. To inspire Uddhava with that high level of pure bhakti, Krishna speaks this verse. Right, so 10 was, the residents of Vrindavan headed by the gopis were always completely attached to me with deepest love. Therefore, when my uncle Akura brought my brother Balaram and me to the city of Mathura, the residents of Vrindavan suffered extreme mental distress because of separation from me and could not find any other source of happiness. Right? So that's the thing, was the mood. Then he explains it. And so then he starts talking about the gopis. But actually, that's where the point of that feeling of separation is. Yeah? Okay. Give up rules and prohibitions. Give up prescribed acts and forbidden acts. Right? So this doesn't mean that they're not being performed, but you're giving up that they're being performed because it's a rule or it's a prohibition or it gives a good benefit or it gives a bad, you know, but we avoid it because it gives a bad benefit. That's not what, if you follow it because of that, then what does it have to do with Krishna? You know, oh, if you don't do this, then you'll go to hell. You know, okay. But what does this have to do with Krishna? You know, or if you do this, then, you know, it's the best time in the morning for spiritual life. And all, what's it got to do with Krishna? So as long as you connect it to Krishna, then it has a meaning. Mm-hmm. Right? Either the aspect of, you know, you get up in the morning, so first thing you want to do is see Krishna. So that's why you go to the temple. Mm-hmm. Not because you have to. Right? Yeah. Or even if you have to, but you want to develop your love for Krishna, but because we don't have any love for Krishna, therefore we're following the recommendation of the acharyas. They're saying to go to the temple. So that's why we're doing it. Not because it's the Vedic rule. Does that make sense? So in other words, what's the intent? What's the cause of following it? That's what has to be said. Right. So then he asks, should I take sannyas, right? Because you're giving up all these things. No, give up the dharma of the sannyasis. Renunciation as well as the dharma of the householders, enjoyment. Do not hanker to hear about dharma in the future and forget what you've heard already. Right? It's about Krishna. Mm-hmm. By all methods, by all bhavas in the mind, such as Dasya and Sakya, taking support of me, surrender. You will be fearless by my mercy. You are not qualified for karma or jnana. But if you identify with those processes and thus fear sin and continue samsara because of neglect of duties and jnana, I am here to deliver you from those two fears. Right? You know, because, yes.
This sounds exactly like Sarvabhauma. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That's the confidential point. Right? Krishna talks about it, that, you know, it's him. And so then the point is this is then what makes it work. Right? You surrender to Krishna. That's actually the point that the whole Gita is trying to bring you to. Right? But it has to go through step by step. Right? Because Arjuna is there and there's this calamity going on and, you know, and then he takes the higher ground by all, you know, leave this all to them, all renounce, all go to the forest. So in the modern thing, that would be considered the top, you know, the pinnacle of the book. Right? But that doesn't even get off the ground. You know, it's in the first chapter, right? Spiritual starts from the second chapter. Right? And so then he hears about spiritual life. Then it's even more, okay, yeah, we're out of here. We're going to... No, but then it's about everything you do should be about Krishna. Right? So it's not about what you're doing, it's about Krishna. And so therefore, since it's about Krishna, then your activities are always connected to Krishna. Right? You can either mechanically go through, I'm doing these things, connect those to Krishna. Or, I'm serving Krishna, therefore, then these are activities I could do to serve him. So, yes?
Maharaj, in this connection it is mentioned, actually, the pure devotees, why they don't, I mean, follow all the rules is because they are bewildered by prema for the Lord Krishna. That's why they forget
what to be done, what not to be done.
Yes.
That is for the pure devotees. Now, by hearing this confidential knowledge, how the sadhakas apply it, because they don't have that.
So for the sadhakas, it means don't follow the rules and prohibitions prescribed as to the forbidden acts. Is simply connect all that to Krishna. Right? Because we're not forgetting because of prema for Krishna. We're forgetting because of attachment to Maya. So we do have that prema. It just happens to be for Maya. Right? So because of that, that's why we forget. You know, just as, oh, we're so absorbed in, oh, somebody said this and that, and so we sit there the whole time in the japa and then don't even chant any japa. Like that, you know, because of our high level of Maya praying, you know, like that. So in the same way as they forget about material activity, they'll never stop chanting and remembering Krishna, but they may forget that, you know, they were supposed to take their noon bath. They're just chanting and go straight through, or... Does that make sense? So, in this way, but if it's there, it's a situation, it's not a problem, they won't take the bath. So it's not an excuse not to take. It's just they don't remember. You know, so that's what he's meaning. You're not doing all these things because of the benefits they get. You're just absorbed in Krishna service. So, they come up as service, then you're doing them. Because just as we're so quick to give up the rules and regulations, but they'll also forget about eating and sleeping, which generally we never forget about. Right? You know, so that's the point. So, yeah?
Maharaj, when we begin with Krishna, and then connecting all your secondary activities to Krishna, then by cultivating this particular method, whatever is the wrong mentality, it's easy to give up, right?
Whatever is the wrong mentality, is it easy to
give up if you start with Krishna?
Means if you see it in connection to Krishna, it's always easier to give it up rather than see it as something you like to do but you shouldn't do it. Mm-hmm. But it's that by doing it in this way, it's pleasing to Krishna, it's always going to be easier. But the, mm-hmm. Yeah, like that. You know what I'm saying? It's like that, yeah. But it's not an aspect of Vaidhi sadhana. Here it's we're trying to follow the instructions that are there and do whatever we're supposed to be doing. So we're already technically on that point beyond rules and prohibitions. Right? See, if you come from a lifestyle that there is no rules or prohibitions, then it seems like there is. But if you've come from the Vedic background where there's so many rules and regulations, then this is not. Yeah? Does that make sense? That's the whole thing. So we'll mistake and we'll say, oh, then we do nothing. You know, we just act according to the whims of our mind. But no, it's that they're carried away in the waves of prema, you know, Madhavendra Puri and the others. Mm-hmm. That's why they do what they do. Right? Yeah. So it's not, this is not, we understand here what practical application is for us is we don't take the rule, is that the rule is what makes bhakti. It's our desire to follow rule to please Guru and Krishna, that's what makes it bhakti. Yeah?
Like, here we see for Uddhava, Krishna says this because you're my very dear devotees, so you do what I say,
yes.
Like this. And for Arjuna, he says, because you are my friend, I'm instructing you. You do like this.
Yes.
So similarly for everyone, unless like, is this the key that to have an attachment to that devotee who is speaking, by that strength you can, I mean, give
yes.
what is not.
That's the whole point he mentions, all about association with devotees. So that attachment to the association of devotees, that's what will make things move forward nicely. Is that... Okay. In this regard, Sri Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, abandon all varieties of religion. Okay, here it is. And just surrender to me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Bhagavad Gita 18:66. Right, so this is, means you always have to remember this, 1866, that's the time when Maya is conquered by Krishna consciousness. So it's an important number. Yeah, so that was just the next thing in the same commentary. Verses 16 to 24. Means that's it. You see, is here, they're commenting, and then by how it's going, you have an understanding of what's coming next. Yeah. It's said that in those who actually know, you know, the very well music, when they play the music, you basically know what the next note's going to be. But it's not like, oh, this is boring, you know, the next note. It's just how they go, you can feel where it's going. And then it goes there, and so then there's that satisfaction that's gone there, and then it, you know, does that make sense? Yeah. So in the same way, you see, he's made his comments, and from that, then you're going, oh, so that's like, that was the next sentence. You understand? So it's just their explanation is such that you can see where it's going. What's the natural? Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like in rasa it's the same, but sometimes Krishna, you know, surprises his associates.
Well, there's the ever fresh, that means the situational, but the flavor is just the same thing increasing. So it's just, it'll be an aspect of the sanchari will come there, that, you know, like that. Yeah? Verses 16 to 24. The effects of worshipping the Guru. Sri Uddhava said, O Lord of all masters of mystic power, I have heard your words, but the doubt in my heart does not go away. Thus my mind is bewildered. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, my doubt is not dispelled. You previously said that I was qualified for karma by saying, Mayi sarvani karmani, nirapeksha samachara. With disinterest, give all karmas to me. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:11:22. Previous to that, you said, the material universe that you perceive through your mind, speech, eyes, ears, and other senses is a temporary creation that is equivalent to what is made of Maya. When you perceive in the waking, and to what is made of the mind when you perceive in the dream state. So he's saying that all the things that you perceive with your senses, that perception of that is like in the dream you're perceiving all these things. You know, because it's not actually real. Therefore, bringing all your senses under control and thus subduing the mind, you should see the entire world as the object of enjoyment for the jivas expanded everywhere. You should also see the jivas controlled by me, Paramatma, Srimad Bhagavatam 11:11:7-9. Right? So, whatever you see here, it's all arranged because the jivas want to enjoy it. Doesn't mean that they will, but it's arranged for that. You know, it's like the carrot in front of the donkey. It's arranged for the donkey's enjoyment. Not that he necessarily attains that enjoyment. You know, because it's all in the mind anyway. So the donkey's probably getting more out of that carrot dangling in front than if you actually give him the carrot. Right? You know, because you eat the carrot and it's done. But here, you know, you could walk all day trying to obtain the carrot. So we see what's happening. So he's saying he's not qualified. Here he says he is qualified. Then before that he says this is all illusion anyway. By these verses you have told me to practice jnana. Now you give me qualification for bhakti by saying surrender to me. I do not understand. And later you will give me qualification for karma again. Uddhava uses crooked words arising from Shakya Rasa. Right? Because even though he's a servant, there's that aspect of Sakya. So he's one of these ones that has a few rasas mixed in. Yes?
This aspect is called as mana, that crookedness arising.
Oh, okay, man. Okay. Oh, that was before the?
Sneha.
Okay. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear Uddhava, right, so this is the transcendental form of finding that. It has a value. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear Uddhava, the Supreme Lord means, in other words, what's the highest in the spiritual is the lowest over here." Right? Yeah. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear Uddhava, the Supreme Lord gives life to every living being and is situated within the heart along with the life air and primal sound vibration. The Lord can be perceived in his subtle form within the heart by one's mind. Since the Lord controls the minds of everyone, even great devotees like Lord Shiva, the Supreme Lord also assumes a gross form as the various sounds of the Vedas, composed of short and long vowels and consonants of different intonations." Right, because that's the Vedic. It has all those. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, "Oh, my friend Uddhava, do not think like this. In order to help all jivas, I am depositing with you the gems of methods to attain me. Bhakti, gyan, special qualities, yoga, austerity, and dharma, which should be understood by the best devotee. You do not have any hesitation to identify yourself with each item. O Uddhava, though I teach all jivas to practice gyan, karma, bhakti, yoga, and austerity, what I have just spoken, what I am speaking now, and what I will speak is directed to you alone. But have you become qualified for each process by such commands? To me, you are who you are. At this time, you cannot do all of these methods. I say all this to you in a joking, comforting way. I and no one else, knowing the meaning of the Vedas, from which one can understand how one jiva becomes qualified for karma, jnana, or bhakti, according to its condition. I alone have appeared from the mouth of four-headed Brahma as the Vedas." Krishna then speaks this verse. "I, the Supreme Lord, am called jiva since I give life. I am that person." Pointing with his forefinger, he touches his chest. "I make my appearance in the Muladhara and other chakras, Vivareshu, on Brahma's body. That appearance is further described. I enter the Adhara chakra, Guhyam, along with prana, filled with subtle sound called para, or nad, Goshena. I attain the subtle mental form, Manomayam, called Pashyanti, in the Manipura chakra, below the navel, and then Madhyama in the Anahata chakra in the heart. And finally in the Vishuddha chakra at the throat, Vishuddhi. I become gross sound called Vaikari, with short and long sounds, high, low, and medium pitches, and various syllables of the alphabet." Right, so he is the potency of all these chakras. He's why everything works. He is sound. He says he appears with sound. You know, the nod, the original. Para, you know, translated or nod. So that is actually why things actually can manifest. It's because it's Krishna. Otherwise, how does it from, a feeling or a thought, then it manifests as actual sound. Right? That's the Lord's potency. Yes.
Why is this explanation after what Uddhava said?
Why not?
He said he's confused.
Yeah, but we also see why he said he's confused.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, so he's pointing out is he's giving all these things to Uddhava because then Uddhava is going to then go and meet Narayan Rishi because he didn't meet them. He met so many others, but not them. And in this way, then establish these teachings for everybody. So specifically, you could say he can follow it now. So it's for him. But others, by appreciating that, it will improve the quality of their practices and devotion. Like that. And so then he's pointing out that because he's his friend and all that, then he doesn't, you know, necessarily have to say that he's God. He points out how, as Paramatma and like this, then he does all these things. Does that make sense? You know, so it's just a... Yeah. I then become the various branches of the Vedas. Right? So once the sound is there, then he becomes all the various branches of the Vedas. Sri Krishna continued, "When sticks of kindling wood are vigorously rubbed together, Heat is produced by contact with air, and a spark of fire appears. Once the fire is kindled, ghee is added and the fire blazes. Similarly, are those bricks right in front of their entrance? They can get in?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's one way to solve the problem of that motorcycle, right? Once the fire is kindled, ghee is added and the fire blazes. Similarly, I become manifest in the sound vibration of the Vedas. Right? So then, through the process of the Vedic study and chanting and hearing that, then the sound vibration manifests, and through that, then that aspect of, yajna, or that connection with the Lord, that service to the Lord, is manifest. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. The gradual manifestation of the Vedas is described with an example. Fire resides as invisible warmth in the space within wood when the wood is first rubbed. With more rubbing of the wood, the fire appears in small amount with the aid of air as a spark. When it clearly manifests as fire, it then increases with addition of oblations. Similarly, I appear gradually as the sound of the Vedas. Without me, who will understand the deep meaning of the Vedas? Right? Because you can't. The words are there, but what they mean, who would know? Having understood, who will establish the methods of bhakti, jnana, and karma for delivering the jiva from samsara? By mercy, I am now giving these methods to you, the most qualified person, equal to me. The sages of Bhadrika Ashrama, receiving this knowledge from you, will be successful. Right? So, he is the Veda. He's the one who gives the understanding. So he's giving this understanding to Uddhava. Uddhava will then give it to these sages at Bhadrika Ashrama. Tomorrow is the Ras Purnima, but it's also the first elephant procession.
Yes. Yes.
But that's at 5.
It never happens at 5.
Tomorrow is a Friday night. Tomorrow is Friday.
Today. They will do it tomorrow.
The first one is done on the Purnima. Then after that, I'm not sure if they'll do one on Saturday also. If it's early in the week, they'll do two. But whether they'll do this week, I'm not sure.
So we are going to hear.
We're definitely going to hear. Sri Krishna continued, the functions of the working senses, the organ of speech, the hands, the legs, the genitals, and the anus, and the functions of the knowledge-acquiring senses, the nose, tongue, eyes, skin, and ears, along with the functions of the subtle senses of mind, intelligence, consciousness, and false ego, as well as the function of the subtle pradhan and the interaction of three modes of material nature, all these should be understood as my material manifest form. Right, so this is the form of that Krishna takes in the universe, the universal form. Right, you could say that materially manifest form. It's him. It's the grossest manifestation. You know, it's metaphysical, so it's super subtle. But for us, but it's the grossest that Krishna's, manifesting himself. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, just as the Vedas, which arise from my form, appear from the body of Brahma. Material sound arises from the body of material persons in a corrupted form. Gadhi refers to speech using the material voice. Shruti says, wise men know the four aspects of speech, but they do not reveal the three aspects hidden in the body. Men speak the fourth form. Rig Veda 1:164.22. Right? I mean, because when you hear, that's then what's already there. Because the nod, and then that whole transformation that it comes to the form of speech, that's not generally what's discussed. It's just what the words that manifest, that's what's discussed. Right? The meaning is this. Speech is measured in four faces. Three are called para, situated in prana at the base of the spine. Pashanti, situated in the mind, in the navel. So you have prana, mind, and madhyama, situated in the intelligence, in the heart. The sages do not reveal their forms. The fourth, called vaikari, is speech in the vocal organ. Does that make sense? So prana, mind, and intelligence. That's the words go through those stages. Right? And so what you're bringing out then has to be... So intelligence means it has to be... It's applied. The practical application. Right? Because Prajumna is in the position of... We're using this of the... Yeah, it means the activity. Because the mind, then, that's what you're trying to obtain. Right? So now... You have to obtain something if the mind is there, right? So what is the mind looking for? The thing or the experience gained from the thing? Experience gained from the thing. So, but the point is you only gain that experience from the thing. So therefore, it has to come to the point of the thing. Then that thing is then described. You understand? That's how words work. Yeah. So all that's going on each time you say something.
I think that what's the subtlest thing which is important?
That's the prana. So that's in the lowest, means in the, yeah, the base of the spine. So that means where the energy is, right? So that energy is there. Then there's something you want to do with that energy. That requires things to do it with. Right. So all this is happening in the same words. So vaikari, that's what you hear, that's what we can actually discuss and contemplate. But it's actually going through these other stages to get to that point.
Krishna is prana.
He's prana, he's the mind, he's the intelligence, he's all the things. Because it has to start before that, there's the nod, that's that first chakra. It's just as that. Then it, you see, it has these aspects, right? Because nod has everything in it. Then, according to your particular, aspect of energy, the mind, and intelligence, then you're going to use particular words.
Yes.
Right.
So, a person who is fully Krishna conscious, he uses only word to glorify
Krishna. Because if their life is surrendered to Krishna, that means the prana is connected, yes, to Krishna. Their mind is connected to Krishna. Their intelligence is connected. So their words will all be connected.
Yes.
Yeah. That's why it's not a separate endeavor.
Yes.
Like that. Just as speech is manifest from me, Krishna says, the actions of all the senses of the total and individual jivas are manifested from Prakriti. Action is the function of the hands. Movement is the action of the feet. Excretion is the function of the anus and genital. These are all action senses. Smell is the function of the nose. Taste is the function of the tongue. Seeing is the function of the eye. Touch is the function of the skin. Hearing is the function of the ears. These are knowledge senses. Decision is the function of the mind. Discrimination is the function of intelligence and chitta. Identity is the functions of ahankara. Sutra or mahatattva is the function of pradhan. Right, so pradhan, a function, it makes all the 24 elements, all the subtle, all the metaphysical aspects of creation. That's what it is. So it's, also known as sutra.
And you said that discrimination is a function of intelligence and chitta. Chitta means consciousness.
Yes. Yeah, you discriminate what's spiritual, what's material, what's the difference between things. That's why it says the intelligence is the closest thing to super soul or to the soul. The transformations of Rajas, Sattva, and Tamas are Adhyatma, Adhidaiva, and Adhibhuta. All these are manifestations of matter. The statement is a continuation of verse 18. 18 was, oh, about the fire and getting the spark coming and then the fire and then blazing, then the offering. Sri Krishna continued, when many seeds are placed in an agricultural field, innumerable manifestation of trees, bushes, vegetables, and so on will arise from a single source. Single source, the soil. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who gives life to all and is eternal, originally exists beyond the scope of the cosmic manifestation. In the course of time, however, the Lord, who is the resting place of the three modes of nature and the source of the universal lotus flower in which the cosmic manifestation takes place, divides his material potencies and thus appears to be manifest in innumerable forms, although he is one. Right? So just like you have seeds, they're all coming from the earth. So the soil itself produces this huge variety, but it's just a transformation of earth. Right? So same way as Krishna, he's just one, but through his material energy, then it appears that he manifests as, you know, so much variety. But it's still Krishna. Right? That's why you can find Krishna in everything. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. In order to say that the material world manifested from the Lord is not different from the Lord. In order to say that the material world manifested from the Lord is not different from the Lord, first the Lord is described. This Lord, Jiva, is the cause of the worlds composed of the lotus of Brahma, being the form of Maya made of three gunas. First of all, before the creation, he was one. Right? Because here, Jiva is brought out because he's giving the life to everything. Right? Because otherwise, dead matter, how do you deal with it? Right? What's the point? But because Krishna enters it, it seems to have value. And then you can say, that's the dead matter, but all the living entities are there. Yes, but what's the body made out of that they're moving around in? Dead matter. Why does it work? Because he's prana. He's the senses. He's the power of that. Yes. Right? So in this way, he's Jiva. Yes.
Right? It says that Sankarshan is representing the aggregate of the Jivas. Does it mean something in relation to this?
Is Sankarshan representing the aggregate of the Jiva? That's more just the potencies coming up there. Yes, you could in one sense say. But here it's about that he is the life force of everything. Mm-hmm. That's why he's Jiva. Mm-hmm. Wow, we're up here. First of all, before the creation, he was one with no manifestation of the world. In time, he becomes the Lord, Adya, who is composed of matter. Many Shaktis, which are divided, such as the voice, and manifested as many forms, such as devatas and humans. An example of one object becoming many is described. It's like seeds which obtain a suitable womb. From one seed may many sprouts grow. Sri Krishna continued. Just as woven cloth rests on the expansion of lengthwise and crosswise threads, similarly the entire universe expanded on the lengthwise and crosswise potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is situated within him. Right? Sometimes you even see the physicists, then they actually map things like that. As the cross things and then show the curves and everything like that, so that they don't understand that those things, that's Krishna. That's the last thing that they're expecting, right? The conditioned soul has been accepting material bodies since time immemorial, and these bodies are like great trees, sustaining one's material existence. Just as a tree first blossoms, then produces fruit, similarly the tree of material existence, one's material body, produces the various results of material existence. And so it's there, and then all the benefits of your previous karma, then it all manifests. You know, that's the thing. That's the field of action is the body. So it means all actions come to the body, and then with the body we engage all those situations in, you know, producing the future body. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's all going on, yeah. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, this universe which takes shelter of the Lord is non-different from Him, since it is the pastime of His Maya. This is explained with an example. In the Lord, this universe is like a cloth which is spread out with vertical and horizontal threads. As the source of samsara, it is called samsara. Right, so it's called samsara because it's the source of it. No? Samsara is coming from, means how Krishna is pervading everything. That's then where the samsaras manifest through that function. So then it's known as samsara. But we'll just take it that what we're seeing is samsara, but actually that's happening because of how Krishna pervades everything. That's how it can happen. So that's how he's, you know, how this as the source of samsara, it is called samsara.
Yes.
Right? You know, just like he is Jiva, so then everything is called Jivas.
Yes.
Right. Because otherwise, where does it come from?
It's new.
Yes, it's new. What was it before he said new meant? That was one of the things that was explained. New had a meaning.
New.
Huh? Yeah. But I'm just... That was in... Yes.
Yeah.
It's a play on the word that is new. Yeah. But it has a connection. Right?
This means this presentation is really... to understand that, we need really to be Krishna conscious, or to be open that this is a perspective.
Yes. Yes, but we see here is that this is being delved into to this degree because one is already accepting the personal understanding as the highest.
Yes.
Right, was already accepted Bhagavan. So wanting to know that, then you can see how Krishna's there in everything, how the person through his energies is there in everything, because he's conscious of everything. But he doesn't have to personally be there. But the point is it's the source and the support of all that is Him. So then you can always be absorbed in Krishna. Because otherwise, if this comes too early, then one will mistake it with Mayavad, and one can't make the distinction. So there actually has to be a commitment to bhakti. Then you can look at these fine points, and it will remind you of Krishna.
Yes. Yes. Now, as a person who is relating with Bhagavan, automatically understands Brahman.
Yes. Yes. So when these are explained, it's yeah, of course. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates.
We did that.
Did that.
This is described as a tree. Samsara.
No, but we didn't finish it.
We didn't finish it.
This is described as a tree. It is without beginning, Puranaha, containing the current of karma, karmat makaha. The flower is the first manifestation of the fruit. The fruits are happiness and distress, results of piety and sin. Right, so the flower is there, and then you'll get the fruit.
Yeah.
You know, so that's, what do you call it? The something mukha? The karma. Phulan mukha. You know, the flower is there. It's just about ready. In other words, you're standing there on the street, you know, like that, the truck is coming down the road and all that, then you notice that in the middle of the road there's $100 bill, and so then you run out to get the $100 bill and get hit by the truck. So that's Phulan Mukha. That's the that's the flower. Then when you get hit by the truck, now that's the full fruit. Right? And then from that you get some happiness or distress. Right? Yeah. Sri Krishna continued. Right? You know, and then when you know the others come running over, and then just before you pass out, then you go, I got it. Like that. So it's happiness, right? Yes. When you wake up in the hospital at a full body cast, that might be the distress. Yes.
And after we have the samsara.
Yes. It just keeps going around. Yeah. Sri Krishna continued. This tree of material existence has two seeds, hundreds of roots, three lower trunks, and five upper trunks. Right? Just when we were just happy that it's just a tree. Right? The tree is covered by three types of barks, gives two fruits, and extends up to the sun. Those lusty after material enjoyment and dedicated to family life, enjoy one of the tree's fruits, and swan-like men in the renounced order of life enjoy the other fruit. Right? So, yeah. One who, with the help of the bona fide spiritual masters, can understand this tree to be a manifestation of the potency of the one supreme truth, appearing in many forms, actually knows the meaning of the Vedic literature. Right? So it's just Krishna, and then there's all these different aspects. So that's why instead of somebody saying, no, this is the thing, or someone says, that's the thing, that they're actually not fully understanding. It's all Krishna. But the point is that it's all Krishna, but then we're interested in the element of serving Krishna. So the aspects that define bhakti in its expression, that will be the most important. It's all Krishna, but the point is unless you can express bhakti through it, then it doesn't have the same interest. Right? So not that all these things aren't there, it's just that it's not as important.
It appears this whole the Gita follows the natural flow of Bhagavad Gita's name. This is the 15th chapter.
Okay.
Tree of material.
It naturally goes through. Because it's the same person talking, right? You know, and both are friends, right? The BBT purport states, the two seeds of this tree are sinful and pious activities, and the hundreds of roots are the living entity's innumerable material desires, which chain them to material existence. The three lower trunks represent the three modes of material nature, and the five upper trunks represent the five gross material elements. The tree produces five flavors, sound, form, touch, taste, and aroma, and has 11 branches, the five working senses, the five knowledge-acquiring senses, and the mind. The two birds, namely the individual soul and the super soul, have made their nest in this tree, and the three types of bark are air, bile, and mucus, constituent elements of the body. The two fruits of this tree are happiness and distress. What I was saying here that day. Oh, okay. Those lusty after material enjoyment dedicated to family life enjoy one of the tree's fruits. So it wasn't talking of the seeds, it's the fruits. And the swan-like men and the renowned star enjoy the other fruit. Right? So there's two fruits are happiness and distress. So that's going to be the one. Depends who you ask, right? If you ask Jaimini, then the karmis are tasting the happiness, and the renunciates the distress. But if you get here, but here it's the renunciates mean the swan-like men who aren't interested in the material, so they're getting the happiness. and those who are interested in the material enjoyment, they're getting the distress. Right? With that, yeah.
Even the reality is being expressed in such a poetic way.
Yes, yes. So poetics works well. Because then you accept it, and then you start to think about it and go, hey, wait a minute. Because yeah, I thought it was the seeds, and then when it comes up here, and then I saw the seeds and the fruits, there were two. Then I went back, and because I was thinking, but the seeds there, that wouldn't have been the pious and impious. I was thinking it's karma and jnana, but it's, yeah. Those who are busy trying to enjoy the company of beautiful women, money, and other luxurious aspects of illusion, enjoy the fruit of unhappiness. Yeah, they enjoy the fruit of unhappiness. So nicely stated. One should remember that even in the heavenly planets, there is anxiety and death. Those who have renounced material goals and taken to the path of spiritual enlightenment enjoy the fruit of happiness. One who takes the assistance of bona fide spiritual masters can understand that this elaborate tree is simply the manifestation of the external potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is ultimately one without a second. I mean, it's him. Through his energy, but it's still him. So he's fully conscious and in control. Right? So that's the thing, is that when you can appreciate that that can all happen at once, then if one can see the Supreme Lord is the ultimate cause of everything, then his knowledge is perfect. Otherwise, if one is entangled in Vedic rituals or Vedic speculation without knowledge of the Supreme Lord, he has not achieved the perfection of life. Mm-hmm. Right? So being able to see how Krishna connects with everything, that's the important point. The secondary aspect is only important in its connection to the Lord. So any contradiction in two secondary points means you have to find what's the common element of Krishna consciousness. Right? And so within that Krishna consciousness, that will have a manifestation. So, they can't get live. Oh, well, so much. You can always move it over. So,
secondary point?
Yes. Yes, because those secondary points, they'll have moods that go with them, knowledge, technique, all those things. Right, so when it's seen in connection with Krishna, then you'll see what's the common point between these two secondary aspects. You know, some aspect of the quality, some aspect of the knowledge or technique, but ultimately that is done to please Krishna. Right? Then you can work things out. Otherwise, it's no, it has to be this, no, it has to be that. No, it has to please Krishna. That's the point. If it pleases Krishna, then it becomes very nice. And if it doesn't please Krishna, then not nice. Right? Yes.
Sometimes it's confusing because we always pay attention to the secondary.
Mm.
But then Rupa Goswami, he explains pure devotional service, and then he puts secondary first. You know, anyabhilasa shunya dhyana karmadhyana vritaya, and the primary comes at the end. And also his explanation of the rasas, he explains everything, and then sthayi, he explains lust. So why he's using that?
Well, I mean, one, as you can see, is that you can understand something's there by its symptoms. Then you have some understanding. So with the symptoms, then you can understand what's being talked about. Otherwise, then you may not. Okay, Stai, was that, what was the other one? The rasa? First one,
the bhavas, he explains.
Yeah, no, that one, that one, I think I caught. But
the first is anyabhilasa shunya jnana karmadhyana vritaya. He starts from the secondary, and then the primary he gives at the end.
Well, you see, when Prabhupada translates it, he puts that being conscious of Krishna and favorable to Krishna, and then at the end is put without karma jnana.
Yeah.
So it also can be just how the grammar works. You know. Does that make sense? You know, so it's just difference there. But it's the point is that if it's about Krishna, if you're conscious of Krishna, that starts the process. If what you're doing in conscious of Krishna is favorable to Krishna, then that's better than that. Now, when that's free from karma and jnana, then that's the best. So we see as we remove the secondary, you know, external aspects, means the mundane, the better it gets. So as you come down, then does that make sense? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's just a matter of that someone's conscious of Krishna, then they're aware in that. Then that'll be better. So that's Brahminical culture. But then when they see how that should be connected to Krishna, then they take up, you know, an actual active aspect. But when that's when they give up karma and jnana is just to please Krishna, now it becomes pure bhakti. Otherwise, before that, it'll be mixed bhakti. Or even bhakti mixed with karma and jnana. But bhakti's there. You know, so there's the knowledge, then there's that bhakti, then it becomes actual, you know, properly situated, then you're trying to get to the nice karma, which will bring, you know, to the proper platform. Is that? In this regard, Sri Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, it is said that there is an imperishable banyan tree that has its roots upwards and its branches down, and whose leaves are the Vedic hymns. One who knows this tree is the knower of the Vedas. Right? So here Krishna didn't mention it being upside down, but it's already known. So that's why you see the three modes of nature, and then they pervade through everything.
Yes.
Right? They would say that all those details, they just adding more and more details.
Yeah, you're just adding more details to the already previously described.
Yes.
Like that. Because here he says they go up to the sun, so that means these leaves, what was that? And its branches, down, and the leaves are the Vedic hymns. So the hymns reach to the sun. Right? Because they're there. Because they all come, all the Vedic hymns will come from the Brahma Gayatri. The Brahma Gayatri is about the sun. So they all reach to that. Then that Brahma Gayatri is about Bhubhu Swa, which is about Om, which is Krishna again. So it's, you get into it more and more. So it's just, it's how much is necessary for this conversation, then that's what's mentioned. And that he just says the things and moves on means that Uddhava would then understand these and then put it together. Sri Krishna continued, "With steady intelligence, you should develop unalloyed devotional service by careful worship of the spiritual master. And with the sharpened axe of transcendental knowledge, you should cut off the subtle material covering of the soul. Upon realizing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you should then give up that axe of analytical knowledge." Right? Because so the knowledge, the analytical is only to attain Krishna. Once you've attained Krishna, you don't require the analytical knowledge. Right? Just like you engage the body in the Lord's service, but you don't require the material body. You develop the spiritual body. It's the same way as using the intelligence to analyze. That can be done, but actually it's just serving Krishna. The same before. Decision is the function of the mind. So deciding what things to do for Krishna, like that, that's what you want to get to. We have to decide whether it's even going to be in the same ballpark as Krishna or not. We're out in the parking lot, or, you know, something. Does that make sense? No? Depends upon your samskaras. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains, or elaborates, "Knowing this, having accomplished the purpose, give up all sadhana. By the acts of jnana sharpened by the main process of bhakti, which has taken a secondary role, cut off the subtle body made of the three gunas. On attaining paramatma, give up the practice of jnana, the weapon. I am directing all these instructions to you, though you are beyond jnana, just as I gave all types of instructions to Arjuna in the Gita. You should not fear that this is detrimental for you." Right, because it's not that, oh, this will be a problem for him. So if this is not a problem for Uddhava, it's definitely not going to be a problem for us. Right? Because then you're taking that, is that the axe of jnana is sharpened by the main process of bhakti, it's the main, but it's taking a secondary role because we're more focused on the knowledge.
Yes.
And applying that knowledge, but for Krishna conscious, because it's been sharpened by bhakti. Mm-hmm. Right? But once one has attained that position of seeing everything connected to the Lord and us not connected with the material energy, but a servant of Krishna, then at that point that knowledge should be left, and now bhakti is the primary, becomes the main.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Does that make sense? And now spiritual knowledge, spiritual mind, spiritual senses, now they all then are the secondary items that are engaged in the primary of pleasing Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
So, in this regard, Sri Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, the real form of this tree cannot be perceived in this world. No one can understand where it ends, where it begins, or where its foundation is. But with determination, one must cut down the strongly rooted tree with the weapon of detachment. Bhagavad Gita 15:3. Right, but that detachment is detachment that comes from bhakti. If it's just detachment on its own, we see that they don't do so good at cutting down the tree. Right? Yeah.
You said about the spiritual mind and spiritual knowledge. And isn't it the same? Like if we're using anything in Krishna's service?
Yes, because what we're using in Krishna's service, then that would be. But what we're not using in Krishna's service is not. So what you're trying to do is, that's the tree. That you're trying to remove. Being controlled by the modes of nature. Because remember that it has the three lower roots are the three modes of nature. So you cut off the modes of nature, being controlled by that. If you cut off the roots of the tree's not functioning. So we're not controlled by the material energy. Does that make sense?
But that happens the moment you connect it.
Yes, the moment you connect it. So the idea is that we are always connecting it. Because that moment it connects, but then you can't sit back and go, oh, it's connected. Does that make sense? Doesn't make sense. Okay, let us say we have something to eat. Okay? And so it's all there. Now, if we just talk about how, oh yeah, I got something to eat here, this is great and that, you know, take your picture, put it up on Snapchat or whatever it is that you want to put it up on, you know. And that, so you can do all that, but are you getting any benefit from eating? You know, from the food? No. Or you take one bite and then, wow, yeah, we're eating, it's all happening here, and then, you know, take a selfie with you eating, you know, you're doing the whole thing. Like that. Is it, you know? No, so you have to constantly be eating. So that's the whole point, is that you've connected it, but you have to see that it's always connected, not just once you connect it and that's it. Yeah?
You need to maintain the connection. Right?
Yes, it has to be maintained, yes. Yes.
So, can we say that on the level of bhav, it's constantly connected, actually? We don't have consciously to connect it, because that's that.
Well, once you get to, you could say, to the platform of samadhi, then you could say it's constantly connected. Because then at that point, then it's exclusive. Because only when it's exclusive can you say it's constantly connected.
Mm-hmm.
Means when it's predominantly connected, we call it nishta. Mm-hmm. Right? And from that being fixed, then, you know, now we're getting the taste. Because of that being fixed, we call it taste.
Yeah.
You know, then that goes into that taste, gives us an attachment, that gives ecstasies. But it doesn't become, you could say, to its full, situation until that samadhi. But until you actually get to prema, you wouldn't say it has its full nature. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So prema, that is, you could say, the steady point. You know, because that's eternal. Does that make sense? Yeah. But the higher up you go, the better it is, the closer it is. Yes.
Is it explained about the incomplete stages of preeti? There it is explained, the stages in incompleteness. Then it is the last stage is having just a trace of it, which is called a prakato there. it's about to manifest. I mean, the Preeti is about to manifest, but because you have this trace of anartha, still it is not considered complete.
Because there's a trace.
Trace. That is what the example is given of Priyavrat Maharaj. Like, apparently, though he's engaged in family life, it seems, but he's already liberated. So that pastime, I mean, that verse is quoted by Deva Goswami. So this is some phrase, that's why it is said, he's still enjoying.
Okay. Yeah.
So the finity of what actually is.
Yeah, but even though that enjoyment may be in connection with the Lord, and he's appreciating the Lord, but it's still. It's not just that has that exclusiveness just about the Lord. But he's a pure devotee in the very advanced. Because we have to remember is that prema is the perfection of pure devotion. Right? Does that make sense? And as we learn to... Yeah. Okay? Yeah? Srila Prabhupada comments on Bhagavad Gita 15.3. One has to search out that origin of this tree, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, through the association of persons who are in knowledge of that Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then, by understanding, one becomes gradually detached from this false reflection of reality. Right? Because it's reflected on the water of desire. Right? That's why it's upside down. Right? You have a tree, and then you have the water, and then you see an upside down tree in the water. So that's why it's upside down. If you ever wondered why it's that... So you want to find the real tree. That real tree is then Krishna. Mm-hmm. So that upside down one, that's where we're not seeing it connected to Krishna.
Yes.
Right?
Is that why it's called the reflection is called desire?
It's reflected on desire.
Reflected.
Desire meaning that it's desire other than Krishna. Because if it's about Krishna, then you're dealing with the original.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have desire that's not connected to Krishna, then you deal with the reflection. Does that some sense? Yeah. Then by understanding, one becomes gradually detached from this false reflection of reality. And by knowledge, one can cut off the connection and actually become situated in the real tree. Right? Conclusion. The association of saintly devotees destroys the soul's attachment to material life and is capable of bringing even the Supreme Lord, Krishna, under one's control. No other process can affect the same result. This possessiveness is the cause of the greatest bliss for the devotees. The best examples of such control are the gopis. The young women of Vrindavan displayed such deep attachment to Lord Krishna that they perceived an entire night spent in his company as just a fraction of a second, and each night without him to be equal in duration to a millennium of the demigods. Being tormented by separation from Lord Krishna, they could not imagine anything that could give them satisfaction other than his return. Therefore, the Lord, after imparting these instructions to Uddhava, advised him, give up all considerations of religion and irreligion, as promulgated in the Shrutis and Smritis, and instead take shelter of the example of the women of Vrindavan. Because it's about pleasing Krishna. Because the religion and irreligion is that you have the 20 different definitions of religion, right? All the various forms. And then there'll naturally be irreligion, which means not doing those. Right, so then we're looking at that. Now, why religion? It gives a good result. Why irreligion? It gives a bad result. Right? So we're trying to accept the religious process. And then we'll argue over which one's better and which than that. I like this, this one likes that. And so that's how it all goes. Right? But the whole point is one has to give that up. It has to be about pleasing Krishna. Because otherwise, all this religion, irreligion, that's all part of this reflected tree. But it's only because one understands Krishna that it is given up. But it's given up means it's given up in separate, in its separate position than Krishna. The devotees accept it connected to Krishna, so it's not separate. Right? So they're following the religion because it's connected to Krishna. Right? Because it pleases Krishna, the person. Not just that it's connected, that this is what's recommended. That's the beginning. Like that. So it's good. It's connected. But you have to get, so the sakam and nishkam, but you have to get to the point where it's just about Krishna, the Kevala Bhakti. Right? So,
and how did this come by the association of pure devotees?
Yes, that was the first. By the association of saintly devotees, destroys the soul's attachment to material life. It is capable of bringing even the Supreme Lord Krishna under one's control. Mm-hmm. So no other process means no other religious process. So only Sad Dharma can do that.
And our own desire can... we can speed the thing by...
means that your desire... pleasing Krishna, you know, in the association of devotees, then Krishna will arrange.
Yes.
Right? There's so many devotees.
Yes.
You know, somehow or another they could all end up, you know, on your door. You know, so he's the...
The condition is that the realization of that can come in an active way if we desire.
Means if we desire, it means things will be sped up.
Yes.
If not, Krishna will arrange it so that you do desire, and then it will speed up.
Okay. Yes.
Either way, it's going to happen.
Yes.
So we hear, so then we try to apply.
Yes.
Right? If not, then we have heard, we don't apply, then we see it happening to someone else, then we think, oh, I should get serious.
Yes.
And then if not, then there's always third-class intelligence where it happens to us, and then we think, I should get serious.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's just, so Krishna always starts off with the first class.
Yes.
You know, he'll bring it down subtly, and then when you don't, then it becomes more. Right? Because as we said, he's samsara. Okay, so then we will see it.
Realization.
Yes. Chapter 13. The Hamsa Avatar answers the question of the sons of Brahma. Pratigya. All superior transcendental qualities, free from the transformation of material qualities, find their shelter in the worshipable object in the Lord. Right? So superior transcendental qualities, free from the transformation of material qualities. They find their shelter and worshipable object in the Lord. So all good qualities, their worshipable object is the Lord. Their shelter is in the Lord. So actually, anything that we would take as a value, it all has its shelter in the Lord. But that's superior transcendental qualities, not just anything. Does that make sense? Chapter 13 summarizes questions and answers. Sri Uddhava asks Sri Krishna question 11.16 in Srimad Bhagavatam. From 11.13.8, Sri Uddhava said, "My dear Krishna, generally, human beings know that material life brings great future unhappiness, and still they try to enjoy material life. My dear Lord, how can one in knowledge act just like a dog, an ass, or a goat?" Like that. Sri Krishna answers this question in verses 9 through 14 by relating a story. Sri Uddhava asked Sri Krishna 11.17 and from 11.13.15. Sri Uddhava said, "My dear Keshava, at what time and in what form did you instruct the science of yoga to Shanaka and his brothers? I now desire to know about these things." Sri Krishna answers this question in verses 16 through 42 by relating the story. Sanat Kumara asked Lord Brahma question 11.18 of Srimad Bhagavatam from 11.13.17. The sages headed by Shanaka said, "O Lord, people's minds are naturally attracted to material sense objects. And similarly, the sense objects in the form of desire enter within the mind." Oh, yes, yes. We discussed this in the Vedantic psychology. "Therefore, how can a person who desires liberation, who desires the crossover activities of sense gratification, destroy this mutual relationship between the sense objects and the mind? Please explain this to us." Right? So, yeah. So again, it's a very important point because you can't actually get rid of it. You can connect it to the Lord. Yes.
It's the same discussion in the Surat Canto between Kapila and Devahuti.
Yes, same thing. Same point. Because it always comes up as this thing's, okay, this is here, how do we get rid of it? That's the thing of Gyan. Right? It's about liberation, getting rid of everything. Right? And so it's, the point is, no, you don't have to get rid of it, because the mind and the sense objects and the objects, you know, the senses, all that, those are active, they're going to be. So you just have to connect that to Krishna.
Yes.
You can't stop it, because the main thing is, oh, how do I stop the mind? You don't have to stop. You connect it to Krishna.
Even Rahugana, the Jarvara,
Charabar also says that same.
And again it comes in mind, I'm not forgetting.
Yeah.
Same question.
Yeah, because it always come up as, oh, when will my mind, you know, stop being crazy? No, yes. So when will it be connected to the Lord? Because we'll pray, oh, when will, Krishna, please make my mind not so crazy. But so then, but what is it? No, please let my mind be attached to you,
yes.
Right? Like that, that's that prayer.
Yes.
The swan of my mind being like in the, you know, attached to you.
Kulashekar.
Yes. Kulashekar. Okay. You don't know which one it is. Is it Kulashekar? Is it Muchakunda? Or is it Yamunacharya? Yes, yes, one of those three, right? Or now we have another one. There's a Madhavendra Puri, right? You know. So. Yeah. Yes. Lord Brahma, unable to answer the query of his sons, meditated on the Supreme Lord, and thus Hamsa avatar appeared in order to answer this question in verses 26 to 40. Right, so there's other small stories told, and then it all comes, you know, this main point, then how that's being done by the Hamsa avatar. Sanat Kumar asked Hamsa avatar question 11:19, a lot of questions this chapter, from 11:13:20. Thus seeing me, the sages, placing Brahma in the lead, came forward and worshipped my lotus feet. They then frankly asked me, who are you? But they did this without a hookah. Like that. It's actually possible. Right? Hamsa Avatar asked this question while Hamsa Avatar answers this question while answering the Kumara's query to the father in verses 22 to 25 and 38 to 40. Right? So he answers this. And then in that explains all the answers to the questions that they had asked that Brahma couldn't explain.
Yes.
Right? Because Brahma in meditation, so the Lord came as Hamsa avatar, and so he's answering the question. Adhyaya Prakashika. In the 13th chapter, the Lord speaks of the method of removing material contamination from the heart by meditation on the Lord. In order to become free from the material world. Through the story related to Hamsa and the Kumaras. Sardartha Darshani 11:13:1. The three modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance, are related to material intelligence, not to the soul. One should conquer the lower modes of passion and ignorance by the mode of goodness. Then one must pass the mode of goodness by acting in the transcendental mode of pure goodness. By associating with things in the mode of goodness, one becomes more fully situated in that mode. That's why it's recommended certain things. You could say, oh, we're transcendental, but that's all right if you are transcendental, because if you are transcendental, you wouldn't be saying, I'm transcendental. So therefore, if you're saying I'm transcendental, you're not transcendental, so then better to follow the recommendation. Right? Does that make sense?
Okay.
It depends. It means there's some aspect of ignorance there, because there's not knowledge. But then what's the motive behind that? That will be passion. Because in other words, we don't want to follow the Vedic recommendations, you know, to situate ourselves in goodness, because I'm attached to certain things in the material world that I would prefer. And so, therefore, why is that? Because of passion. But you can start there and connect it to the Lord. That's not a problem. So it is bona fide devotional service, but it wouldn't be called pure devotional service. Especially when you take whatever it is that's important to you and then take that and just append it to devotional service. That's called arupya bhakti. But because if you connect Krishna in that, it will bring you to the point of you'll become purified. But we have to understand where it fits. So it's a form of mixed devotional service. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So, we have to understand is that if you're trying to get the pure goodness, you situate yourself in goodness so you can conquer passion and ignorance. So to be situated in goodness, there's recommendations. Right? That says, by associating with things in the mode of goodness, one becomes more fully situated in that mode. So that's why then, you know, the food, the clothes, the atmosphere, the times, the schedule, the regulations, the association, the activity, these are all then the recommended in the mode of goodness. Because we're, very, how you say, naturally, it means, we've been trained, how you say, by association we've been trained in, functioning in the lower modes. some may have, you know, a better mentor that gives more direct and understanding and all that, and some may not. We just pick it up. And then by that, then some have come, you know, some come to the point of spontaneous, you know, how you say, sensual service like this, by that they can just naturally, whatever situation they are in, see it in connection with sense gratification, and they can be inspired and this way inspire others and all that. So to avoid that, then you have to regulate in all those things, which is, you know, bitter in the beginning, sweet at the end. Right? Does that make sense? But if we're specifically interested in sweet only, you know, and that, then we have a problem, because then it will become bitter. Right? Does that make sense? It's just the natural way things go. Like when you're very young, you go down to the you know, the what do you call it? Is it? Barista? Then, if you're younger, then you take a lot of sugar and stuff, and as you get older and older, you start taking it with less and less until you just take it black with nothing. So that's material life. It starts off sweet, ends up bitter, because if they don't take that, they can't even function. Right? Yeah. So, therefore, it's recommended that you accept these things voluntarily. That's why it always says voluntarily, you know, voluntary austerity. You take it up. Because otherwise, if you don't, Maya will put you through the austerity anyway. But you get more benefit if you voluntarily, because then you're learning from it. Because the other one you're being put through, you may or may not learn. So until that point you accept it, that point you start learning. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's why it's recommended that one go through those states, that go one accept that. And so it may, if that, that's what sadhana is, that's what practice is. But then to say, oh, we don't need that because we're from a background of passion and ignorance, so we'll just function in passion and ignorance, and by that association of passion and ignorance, we'll come to the transcendental platform. But the problem is there has been zero explanation of how mechanically that works. Because the acharyas and Krishna don't mention that process. Right? It's only because you connect it to Krishna, that's what they mention. But they do make a distinction between levels. And if you make no distinction, then that oneness is impersonal, or even in this case, it's more like voidism. It's not using the intelligence to discriminate. It's just using the mind to accept and reject. What was the term? Said the mind. Decision. So I don't want this, I want that. That's just the mind. Intelligence, then there's discrimination. Right? You can tell the difference between. But if you say, oh no, it's there. And it's, or if you discriminate and then put the Vedic as lower than the non-Vedic, then now we're talking mode of ignorance. No passion here at all. There might be a touch of passion just to drive you to say these things. Yes.
Maharaj, I once heard that if one accepts voluntary austerities, then there is no need to undergo the material pain and suffering that comes with.
That comes with being engaged in the activity. Oh, okay, yeah, it means because it's Krishna karma, you don't have to. But if you don't, then yeah, it'll happen anyway. Okay, nice. By associating with things in the mode of goodness, one becomes more fully situated in that mode. The three modes increase their different influences through various types of scripture. Water, place, time, beneficiaries of activities, natures of activities, birth, meditation, mantras, purificatory rituals, and so on. So what's recommended for us by the acharyas that we use. We don't go to the Veda for it. We take what the acharyas recommend. Right? And if they just give a principle, not so much detail, then based on that principle only, then we will look at detail. So like that. Okay.
It's simple.
It's simple, yeah. So that's the whole point is we've already been given actually an advanced position to start from. Because you see, as this gets more advanced, it's actually more simple. right? Because the others are more complex because of the unlimited desires. But as there's less and less desires, the system is simpler. So Prabhupada has given us that. And because it's so simple, on the ascending process, you take it simple is less and more sophisticated is higher.
Yes.
But actually, in the descending, the simple is on the top. It gets more complicated as it comes down. So depending upon how materially complex you are is how far down then these techniques have to be extended. Is that so? That's the problem. We mix these things, try to mix our ascending perspective with the descending, then we'll consider the more technical things more nice. But then if we don't like the Vedic technical, then you have to go for modern technical. You're going to have to go somewhere. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi ki.